Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it's News Chew time. Welcome back, everyone. I thought I'd start the show off a little more casual than usual. Joining me, as always, is my friend and confidant, Benjamin Orr. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Lou. How's it going?
Great. Great. It's a beautiful morning here in Wisconsin. All right, that's enough of that. That felt uncomfortable, and I hated it. Welcome into the News Chew, everybody. I always want to be loud and in your face.
And all over the place.
Well done, Ben.
Well, maybe not. That could lead to multiple. Now, anyway, so how are you doing, Lou?
I am great, Ben. It did actually snow here last night, though, so I am, of course, a little upset about that. Not so much because I dislike the snow, but because it makes me realize my mortality.
Yeah, we're supposed to get apparently, and I don't know how true this is, 3 to 6 inches of snow in the next day or so. And I'm like, well, driving on the highway and that's not really fun or my thing, but it has to happen, unfortunately, if I want to get to work and to college, so.
I see. So anyways, how was the science fair? What?
But I mean, it does fit in with the mortality, obviously, you know.
Of course.
But that's more on other people being dumbasses while driving, but science fair...
Yeah.
Yes, that.
Isn't that what we've been talking about, the science fair?
Oh, clearly the science fair.
What day is it? I think the snow gave me a stroke. So let's jump right in, Ben. We have a jam-packed show today. You know what else is jam-packed with goodness, Ben?
What's that, Lou?
Our sponsor, Porcupine Cookies. Gluten-free, weed-free, soy-free. Go to the link on our website for details and availability. Porcupine Cookies.
They also do have their own Facebook page, so be sure to check them out on Facebook as well.
Thank you, Ben. We would also like to start the episode with a very important update. You may remember last week we spent the better part of 15 minutes making jokes about a quadriplegic who murdered his parents and then escaped. We did receive an update earlier this week about that gentleman. He was pulled over in Memphis, Tennessee. And unfortunately, before the cops could really get to him, he pulled a gun on himself and he killed himself. So kind of a sad ending. However, the question still remains, the fuck is this guy firing a gun? I'm so confused I can't even put the how in front of that sentence. It's simply, the fuck does that guy fire a gun? I mean, if he flipped the gun around, got it in his mouth, how is he pulling that trigger in the car?
I'm really at a loss for words here. I don't know if maybe it was like the Kurt Cobain thing where he, well, even then Kurt Cobain's was like, people were like, well, how do you pull a shotgun? You know,
well, he did it. His
boots were on though still. So maybe that's how this guy pulled the trigger. I don't know, because in the picture he does have like
pulled the trigger with Kurt Cobain's boot.
Yes. let's get this clear. He does have prosthetic legs. He just has like nubs for arms though, because he did get the disease when he was a teenager. But it still makes me wonder, how in the hell is he pulling a gun if he has no fingers?
But the nub is still going to be way bigger. I mean, I've held a gun before. It's going to be way bigger than the little slot you have to put your finger in. There's no way he's going to get the nub in there.
And here's the thing that kind of gets me is, since he did murder his parents, how does he pull the slide back to chamber the next round? That's what I want to know, because his parents were shot. How does he pull the slide back to chamber another round?
Separate guns.
He has to have two different guns with one bullet each. He's like, well, fuck, I can't miss.
Well, technically, he had three guns, one for each of them, one for himself. Three guns loaded with one bullet apiece.
How's he buying them? Oh, sir, you need to sign here for this. Well, yeah, fuck you too, asshole.
We need you to sign.
Could you stamp... How about a nub fingerprint?
Nub 5?
God damn it. Retinal scan, I guess, is the next...
You'd have to. Unless you're doing a blood test. I don't know, blood oath? I mean, I don't know how you do that.
But hey, here's the other thing. He got away, and he drove from Florida to Tennessee, which leads to my next question about this story. I can't believe how much material we've gotten out of this fucking guy. At some point, he had to stop and get gas. How did he get gas?
Or he had to stop and go to the bathroom or get something to eat.
This is a serious question. Like, I seriously, like, I'm this smartassery aside, this is a genuinely honest to God question. How the fuck is he doing that?
He was hitchhiking.
No, because he was in a car. They pulled him over in a car. He might have hitchhiked at some point, but at some point he got in a car again. So, like,
That's what I'm saying, though.
Okay, so what are you saying? No, so what you're saying is he hijacked a ride, then he picked the lock of a car and hotwired it, Ben? Is that... Yeah.
Ben, are you honestly trying to fucking tell me that a quadriplegic man broke in and hotwired a vehicle?
No, what I'm saying...
Is that what you are telling me?
No. What I'm saying is he hitchhiked from Florida to Tennessee, stole a car, got into a car in Tennessee, and then shot himself.
No, because they pulled him over while he was driving. He was driving the car.
Yeah, he could have gotten the car in Tennessee, and then he was driving, and they're like, oh, well, that's him, because he just got out of the car. They could have been following him. I don't know, maybe that's just too crazy.
I think that's way too crazy. What hitchhiker is going to pick up a quadriplegic man covered in blood with a gun?
How do you know he's covered in blood?
How is he not covered in blood? He shot people and he had, at the very least, had to barrel roll past them to get out of the house.
No, remember, he has prosthetic legs.
Oh, that's right.
He just doesn't have hands.
Forgot about the prosthetic leg part.
So he could have very well, unless he's just like, I don't know.
Is it bad that I don't want him to have the prosthetic legs?
Well, then you make him Patrick Starr, and he's just
a starfish. Yeah, that's what I've always envisioned him to be.
Yeah, so he's dead now.
So, ashes to ashes, farts to farts, whatever.
Whatever we're going to say.
Nomine patris, in spiritu, sanctus. Dominus. I don't
know. What?
Just a bunch of Latin words that I know interspersed into what I think priests might say at funerals.
Oh, well, I guess. Sure. If you're a priest out there and listen to the show, well, first of all, good job. Second of all, let us know if that's right.
First of all, good job. Great, Ben. I'm sure the priests are jacked about you letting them know they're doing a good job. Speaking of priests, let's get to work. Our first story.
I set it up. You slammed on.
Oh yeah, it's not even really a segue. It's just a nice sort of. It takes us perfectly into where we need to be. Story number one reads: Jehovah's Witness leader complains that, quote, gay people are plotting to put everyone in tight pants. Benjamin, I mean, that's really the story. He thinks that the tight pants are not appropriate, and that people who wear them are not of sound mind.
I would think that people who wear straight pants just don't want to reproduce, obviously. I mean, the skinny jeans and whatnot, that's clogging up your junk. Easy. And I don't know that it's going to even work the same. So that's what I would think that the tight pants would be doing, not necessarily making people gay, but...
And now, what I find interesting is that he's not saying any of this about women. He doesn't mind if women are doing it. That he has no beef with. It just seems to be the gays that he's taking issue with.
He said, they are tight all the way down to the ankles. It's not appropriate. It's not sound of mind, end quote.
This is the real quote. Do you remember that many, many, many homosexuals are in the clothing industry and doing the designing? Don't you know they love it when you're wearing tight pants? Oh yeah, you chuckle. I don't think it's funny. I think it's disgusting. Well, sir, I think you're a dirty old bigot, so agree to disagree.
Oh no, he does say something about women, which is kind of hilarious, but he doesn't refer to them as being
but
homosexual.
They're not the ones who are being attacked, but like he doesn't care.
No, well, yes and no. He does say it does say that he accuses women who wear Spanx leggings or other tight exercise clothes in public of betraying their faith.
I mean,
and with that he says, now, he says, quote, now you want to be in your home or room and wear that stuff. That's your business. But don't go out like that and say you worship the true God, end quote.
Well, I don't. So, in fact, most people don't because your God is weird and confusing. So, again, agree to disagree. I just think you're a weird religious zealot and, you know, that's pretty straightforward. I don't think that gays are conspiring to make us wear tight pants, I guess, is really the moral of this story. I'm going to go ahead and disagree with Mr. Alibaba Jehovah, whatever his name is. Anthony.
Anthony Morris III.
I realize now that I said Alibaba and that was completely inappropriate, and I immediately regret that decision. This is not what I meant.
Just a little
at all.
Bit. And I, you know what, Lou? I will be goddamned if this means that women won't be able to wear yoga pants anymore.
Thank you, Ben. You've cut to the real core of this matter.
If there's a day that goes by and I can't see a woman in yoga pants, I will riot.
That's a world that I kind of don't want to live in.
Exactly.
I think that I couldn't agree with you more, Ben. The fact that those are now just parts of everyday wardrobe is just the bee's knees. I don't feel weird about saying that. I think it's awesome. I think all women should do it.
With the bee's knees?
Yes, it's very offensive to certain people.
Like bees?
I'm going to be very sensitive now that I made that joke that didn't make sense and said Alibaba, Jehovah's Witness. I'm not even sure what that meant. I don't even know how I connected those two dots.
Lou, you know what? Do you realize where you are being sensitive here?
I know. But I feel bad about that one because typically I don't care, but that one was way out of left field. I think the reason I'm upset is because it didn't make sense. It was offensive and it didn't make any sense. So, again, please accept my apologies for being an idiot.
Don't put Lou on a no-fly list.
God, please don't. If you're a Jehovah's Witness listening, you know, I'm kind of sorry, but homeboy...
Sorry, is it kind of like sorry, not sorry?
Yeah, homeboy's nutty. He's a nutty little fruitcake. He's a three-day-old prune. Like, he's just kind of unpleasant.
He's just rotting in the sun.
He's a skunk after it's sprayed out all of its stinky skunk juice. It's just sort of... It's just a stinky rag.
Well, he's a bigot. That's what he is.
Well, yeah, obviously he's a bigot. I mean, blaming gay people for tight pants is just ridiculous. Tight pants... The military, those guys are wearing crotch huggers all the time. Haven't you ever seen dudes in military uniforms? This guy's ridiculous. He's not really.
If you want to blame people for tight pants, blame, like, I don't know, the generation before me that, you know, all the bands that they listen to wear those tight pants and they
tight
wear the tight
pants.
Yeah.
Well, this guy probably doesn't like those either because he was probably in his prime then, like in his late 40s, early 50s, and if he was a Jehovah's Witness then, he probably, like, picking it outside of Poison concerts.
Well,
he went to Guns N' Roses. Well, he went to Guns N' Roses concerts and passed out flyers about living in peace and harmony with all of God's creatures.
Well, if he's picketing Poison and Guns N' Roses, I actually might be right there with him.
Ben,
tread
lightly on this Guns N' Roses topic. Tread very lightly. You can say what you'd like about Poison. Just tread lightly on the GNR, please.
Okay.
Just
okay. I won't say anything.
Be careful.
The only thing I will say about Guns N' Roses is I think the thing that everybody feels about them, and that I just do not care for Axl Rose at all. I don't know that anybody does. Only Axl Rose cares for Axl Rose.
I don't care for the Axl Rose as we know him today, but the Axl Rose of the heyday was the bomb diggity. He was the shiznittle bam snip snap sack.
The artist formerly known as Axl Rose.
Yeah, the dreadlock weirdo that he is now is not the one that I like.
But yeah, fuck Poison.
Nobody gives a shit about Poison. Every rose has its thorn, especially when you shove it up people's ass for 20 years.
I don't know. I don't really listen to a lot of that music, so.
Yeah, it was very popular in my adolescence.
Great, I'm going to be saying every rose has its thorn for the rest of the day. Thanks,
You're Lord. Welcome, Ben. Just like because every cowboy has its thorn.
Lou, what I'm doing right now is since I'm not actually near you,
sure.
I'm slapping the air,
sure.
Indicative of slapping your face,
okay.
Because that's
slap
no.
Your microphone. That's usually what I would do. Yeah, thank you. I felt it.
The amount of disappointment I just felt in that is the amount of disappointment I feel in the Jehovah's Witnesses for trying to get rid of yoga pants.
Welcome to my world, Ben. Disappointment with your podcasting partner. It's a terrible thing.
Now I know how you feel when I don't watch a movie.
See? Now you've walked a mile in someone else's shoes, Ben.
That I have.
Now you have. Anyways, so yeah, so that's some crazy, which leads us into another kind of crazy. Story number two. The headline reads, when it's not reloading, the Ku Klux Klan. I always put the L in the first part, Ben. I always, like, for whatever reason.
I do the same thing
as
well.
And I, like, I consciously always try to stop myself, and I hate it. I hate that I do that, and it just happens all the time. The Ku Klux Klan opens its door to Jews, homosexuals, and black people in bizarre recruitment drive. Okay.
Along with Hispanic of origin.
Let me give you the breakdown. The Ku Klux Klan is damn it, I did it again. See? And I consciously tried not to. The Ku Klux Klan is rebranding as, quote, the new Klan. The founder wants Jews, blacks, gays, and Hispanics to join. They also are going to consider rebranding themselves as the Rocky Mountain Knights. And just stand for a strong America. New recruits will have to wear white robes, mask, and conical hats. Ben, my question for you is, why?
My question for you, Lou, is, what are they going to be against now?
I don't...
Communism?
this is like one of those things that, like, if you told it to a robot that, like, thrived on logic, this is how you would break it.
Yeah.
All of the things that the Ku Klux Klan stands for is now going to be able to be a member of the Ku Klux Klan?
Question mark?
So now... You're going to be hating on...
Walmart's prices? I don't know.
The ever-increasing cost of living in suburban areas? I don't understand. All you do is hate black people, Jews, and Hispanics. Like, your platform is white power. You made your money... in the early days, by lynching and drawing and quartering black people.
It's like if the Yankees and Red Sox just fused into one team, what would there be?
Anarchy. You would have... there would be anarchy, is what there would be.
That's what this is, and I'm just like, at least anarchy inside the organization, and I'm just like, what?
That's like not paying for a Costco or Sam's Club membership, and then just walking through the door, and when they ask you for your ID, you just sprint through the store, get what you need, and check out before anyone can find you.
You know, speaking of which, I've actually never been to a Costco, but I've been to a Sam's.
Costco's,
I assume they're one
of the same. They're effectively the same thing, at least in my mind. All those stores are the same thing. They're both good, though. They both serve their purpose.
Then there's IKEA. I've never been to an IKEA.
Well, IKEA's great, too. I like IKEA. Anyways, enough about things I talk about with my wife. That's not this podcast.
That's another one upcoming.
So, like, there's going to be at least one black person and one gay person who are going to join. Here's why I say that. There will be at least one newspaper, magazine, news outlet that will want to know what it's like to be a black person as a member of the Ku Klux Klan or as a gay person. And then they'll, like, write a story about it.
Well, we had that story earlier this year, or late last year, where that this African-American gentleman, who I think is, like, in his 60s or 70s now, back in the 70s, was, remember, he was a member of the KKK, but only because he was, like, an undercover cop. So, I mean, and I think that was only over the phone. They actually never met him. But I guess if it were to be the case today, they'd be like, "Oh, come on in. We got snacks and chips by the door." I mean,
now some genuine members of the KKK, though, they are not very happy about this, which is the other side of this story. So, Bradley Jenkins, who is the Imperial Wizard of the KKK, claims that the man who is negotiating this this new change is, quote, "going against everything the bylaws of the Constitution of the KKK say." Can I just stop and say that that's such poor grammar, the KKK say. Anyways, moving on. The quote continues, "He's trying to hide behind the KKK to further his political career." That's probably true, because that's the only way this makes sense. The only requirements for joining the new KKK, Ben, are to be over the age of 18 and live in the Pacific Northwest. Having formerly lived in the Pacific Northwest, I can assure you, no blacks or gays or Hispanics will be joining. Maybe some Japanese, though.
I don't know, maybe that's their new target. I didn't say Japanese were real.
Or maybe that's who they hate now, is they hate Asian people.
They just never got over Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Well, I have bad news for you, KKK. The rest of us have.
Yeah, this is just like, it's. I think that as much as this is going to suck, I am going to have to agree with Mr. Jenkins, the Imperial Wizard of the KKK, on this particular topic. This just feels like it's some sort of political ploy. Like, nothing about this feels genuine to me. You don't just undo 140 years of fucking blatant persecution just overnight. It's not really how it works. So I think that this gentleman is just trying to further his political career.
But where's it going to get him?
I mean, it's probably going to get him lynched, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, I mean, political career, like, is he running for office somewhere? Because the fact that he's a member of the KKK isn't really going to sit well.
But if he's the guy who can say, "I was the one who brought peace to the KKK. I introduced black, Hispanic, and gay members."
No, bringing peace to the KKK is just getting rid of the KKK. That's bringing peace.
That's just making it AAA, the roadside service. You're just turning the KKK into the AAA. All right, everybody. Fun's over. Let's all get to our tow trucks.
We can't take the AAA. No, it's taken. Let's do BBB. We can't take BBB either.
Damn it.
Because, you know, Better Business Bureau, so...
Fine, we'll be CCC, the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh!
See, it works on a lot of levels.
I'm just...
I really mean, you know what? Baffled. Good for a guy to rise through the ranks of the KKK and then just totally punch them in the dick once he got to the top. That actually is the silver lining to this story. Good for him for convincing them that he was worthy of becoming one of their highest standing members so that he could barter this ridiculous peace treaty.
Like, it's just, I don't know, it's really just something you never thought you'd really see and or hear. So it's happening, and I don't know, like Lou said, if it's genuine or not. I doubt it really is, but that's interesting, to say the least.
Oh, I love this country. We're just so confused about fucking everything.
And we've got to throw a history reference in here. Oh, not reference, it's an actual thing that happened. The KKK did start in Pulaski, Tennessee in 1865. So, just for you history buffs out there, that's
those
when it started.
Those of you who wanted a quick brush up on your Ku Klux Klan history, Ben's got you covered.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, Ben, you walked yourself right into it. There was nothing that could be done to stop it.
Well, it does say in the article, so I blame the article.
Okay. Agree to agree.
But it says that recent estimates suggest that there are between 5,000 and 8,000 members of the KKK currently.
That's way too many. That's way too many racists.
That's 9,000 too many.
Oh. It's just, that sucks. It's a lot more than I had hoped. Yeah, that blows. You know what else blows, Ben?
What's that, Blow?
Story number three. That pause was mostly just for recognition as to how that was probably the winner for this week's worst segue. Headline reads, man charged with fight over whether or not acquaintance was dead. Which, you know what that means, Ben. It's our Florida story of the week.
That it is, Lou. That it is.
Fort Walton Beach, Florida. A 62-year-old man is accused of getting into a physical fight after an argument about whether or not an acquaintance was dead. The sheriff's deputies were called, and they arrested a one Henry Hill Shiver Jr., who reported that the victim told him and another person that an acquaintance of his had died. The acquaintance is not dead, but they began yelling at each other, and it escalated to a physical fist fight. Ben, you will fist fight to defend your lady's honor. You will fist fight a man who has wronged you justly. I feel like fist fighting someone over thinking that someone you know is dead, just sort of, isn't that just besmirching their good name and their memory if they are dead?
Unless you're fighting for their honor and trying to find the person that killed them.
Yeah, I don't think this
if
was
it's,
it.
If it's not that, then yes.
The deputies were unable to observe the injuries due to, quote, the amount of blood on the victim. So he took it really personally when this person insisted that his friend was dead. Like, he took it way too seriously. He may have blown his cool. A pinch.
A smidgen.
He might have... There may have been a slight overreaction, I guess, is really what I'm trying to say. Now, first thing is first, how close of a friend could it be if you aren't 100% sure that they're dead? Like, how good of a friend is this if you didn't, like, attend their funeral? You know what I mean? So, like, this obviously was just someone that they each kind of knew, maybe in passing. So, like, why are you fighting somebody over – and it's good news. You're essentially – this guy essentially beat the shit out of somebody for giving him excellent news. They're like, no, you idiot. Your friend is alive. And he was like, fuck you, and started punching people. What kind of sense does that make, Florida?
Well, there's a problem in the answer in one. It's Florida.
Right. That's the flaw in all my theories.
The only thing I can say to that, Lou, is maybe it was something that had just happened, like, recently within the hour. So maybe he thought, well, obviously there wasn't enough time to even prepare a funeral because his friend had just, quote-unquote, died, which he didn't. So he was in a blind rage. And maybe it was one of those things where he wouldn't calm down because he couldn't see his friend. So he just believed that maybe they were lying to him about it. I don't know. That or the guy just has really, really selective hearing.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug, Ben.
Well, even though he didn't have cocaine, he actually was charged with possession of marijuana, less than 20 grams of it.
Damn it, this is why we can't have nice things. Now people
because
are going to think that marijuana makes people violent.
It's not true. It's a dirty lie. If anything, it makes people more docile, more comfortable in their surroundings, like they're sitting on a big fluffy pillow.
Strawberry fields forever, man.
Whoa, Ben. That was a deep pull for you. Did you hurt yourself? Is everything all right?
Dude, I like the Beatles.
Did you drill a hole into the back of your head to get more blood flow to your brain in order to make your brain bigger?
If I said yes, how would that make you feel?
I don't know. I'd be impressed. That's some pretty dedicated shit.
I could do, like, surgery or some shit like that. Now, I could be a goddamn surgeon.
You know where that came from? It was on an episode of The X-Files. Starring the actor who played Herschel on The Walking Dead. He did that. It was like some sort of ritual to make someone smarter. And he did it so that he could, like, manipulate time using hypnosis. It was an interesting episode.
Was that Krychek guy involved?
No, Krychek was not in this episode. But you can never trust Krychek, ever.
Hey, I remembered the guy's name.
Good job.
So
I'm impressed about that, too.
Going for me.
Never trust Krychek.
He's an asshole.
And people keep making that mistake over and over and over again.
I'm assuming he's an asshole. I don't really know.
No, he's an asshole. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. He's an asshole.
Yeah, fuck him in his face.
And his face.
Yeah, speaking of getting fucked in the face, this poor guy who was trying to deliver the good news of that his friend was not dead. So, see, you look at it, you painted a different picture, but the only way that I see this going down is, like, this guy was, like, he hadn't slept in, like, 5 days. He was stoned to bejesus. He was probably drunk, too. And, like, he convinced himself in his own mind that his friend was dead. And then this other person was like, no, man, he's not dead. You're all right. And they were, like, trying to cheer him up. And it just made him crazy because he had come to terms with the fact that his friend was dead through the abuse of substances.
Yeah, and obviously that might have been hampering his judgment a little, but I don't know. I kind of highly doubt it, so I'm just going to say that this man, on a whim, I'm going to say that maybe he's bipolar.
Maybe a little manic depressive. Obviously has some anger issues about finding out that his friends are not dead.
Damn it, I wish they were dead. Why are they not dead?
You don't understand. I've been grieving for days. What do you mean he's not dead?
Well, damn it, let's make him dead.
Yeah.
That's kind of just the impression.
It'd be amazing
I get from
if
this, man.
This guy gets paroled and he gets bailed out and he just goes and murders that guy and then he's like, see, 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 told you.
Now he's dead.
Fucking Florida, you're gonna do that to me, aren't you, Florida? You sons of bitches.
So his court date is December 2nd, so if we hear anything about him,
we'll keep our eyes peeled. We got you an update about the quadriplegic pillowcase, didn't we?
The Patrick Star pedestrian.
Patrick Star pedestrian, we hooked you up. So we'll keep you in the loop-de-loop.
We'll keep you in the loo-de-loo?
The loo-doo?
The loo-de-loo?
The loop-de-loop?
This is getting really weird.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Did I fart? What's going on?
I feel like my brain's just imploding now. That's probably not a good thing. I probably should get that checked out. It's probably all the blood I was trying to pump into it from the surgery I was doing.
Right. It was the drill in the back of your head surgery.
And we just want to point out, or at least I want to point out, this Henry Hill is no relation to Goodfellas, even though it's the same name.
Well, no, his last name is Shivers or Shivers or Shuvers or something like that. So it's his middle name is Hill, which is kind of cool.
And I highly doubt he was named after the actual Henry Hill.
No, I doubt that because this guy is 62.
Yes.
Or he is Henry Hill. Dun 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 dun. La, 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 la.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think the actual guy is dead.
Yeah, he probably is. But you know who's not dead, Ben?
Who's that, Lou?
The guy in story number 4. That was my successful trumpet.
Yes.
Man freed after being trapped. That would have been a good spot for Ed McMahon. Just FYI. Man freed after being trapped in wall at Marshall's store for 2 to 3 days. That's the part about this story that blew my socks off. Let's go deeper. Police rescued a man from inside a wall of a Marshall's department store this past Tuesday. They believe that he was in there for up to 2 or 3 days. I even looked for an update yesterday, and this is still the only real report on it. They still didn't say how many days specifically. The man who was in his 40s or in his mid-30s, his name was Paul Felick, and he is thought to be a transient. So he, like, probably crawled up on the roof, was going to try to break into Marshall's, got trapped in, like, some ventilation unit, and then somehow got wedged inside of the wall. The only reason they found out about him was because somebody heard him shouting over and over again, and then they broke him out of the wall.
Is this like that scene from Always Sunny where Dee gets the cat stuck in the wall, so Charlie has another cat go in there?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. Like, why on earth, like, it makes sense that they believe that the man's a transient. He probably was, and now I would imagine he'll just go to jail for all the damage he caused to. He'll be on the hook for that. But it's like, you don't, like, something must have happened. There must have been a series of unfortunate events that led to him getting just wedged in one specific spot. Like, there has to be some reason that he all of a sudden was isolated and finally started shouting for help. So, like, he was within the he was maybe within those walls scavenging and eating rats. I don't know. Well, what the hell he would do in there? I'm amazed he didn't die from dehydration 2 to 3 days being trapped in a wall.
I'm amazed he didn't die falling in, because that either says the walls are really big or he's a really small man.
Can't it be both?
No, why not both? Well, that's the case. He's living in luxury then.
Yeah. It was actually probably really nice because he hadn't slept indoors in like 13 years. Because he was probably homeless. It's my song about being homeless for today.
Maybe.
Transient. But transient to me implies that if he isn't homeless, he's close.
If he's not homeless, goddammit, he's trying.
He is doing his damnedest.
But what, I mean, I guess, you know, that's one way to try to steal something from a store, is to go through the roof. Obviously, it happens, you know, like in Mission Impossible, but
I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. Like, otherwise, unless he, like, went into, like, one of the back rooms, like, he snuck back there and, like, wedged himself in the wall and was like, I'm going to sneak out at night to steal what I want from this locked and secured building. And then he got stuck. Maybe he's fat. I don't know.
They had to send another human after him. It's Always Sunny thing, but with humans this time.
Yeah, they just sent in a train of people to get him out.
What do you think the responders, like it has the firefighters there, you know, breaking on the wall. What do you think they're thinking, thinking the entire time they're trying to get this guy out of the wall? Like, what the fuck?
I would imagine that they would be thinking, man, no one is going to believe this story in 15 years.
We're not going to have walls in 15
yeah,
years?
Yeah, nobody's going to believe this story in 15 years. One time when I was a firefighter, I had to break a man out of a wall at a Marshall's.
With my bare hands.
Yeah, at that point, he'll be telling them with his bare hands.
You know what I'd like to imagine, Lou?
Tell me, please.
I'd like to imagine when they broke down the wall, he fell down on the, like, on a slab of the wall, and he was like frozen, like Han Solo when he gets frozen in The Empire Strikes Back.
So you envision him falling and then just like freezing in place for 2 or 3 days?
Yeah, he was like when Han Solo was frozen,
and then he came to and was like, help!
Yes, that's what I'd like to imagine happened.
Maybe he was abducted by aliens, and they probed him for like a day and a half, and then that's just where they dropped him off. Maybe that's why it's so hush-hush.
We're not going to drop you off in a park or a mountain. We're just going to drop you off inside of the wall of a Marshall's. Because why not?
Maybe they thought it would be the most inconspicuous. Maybe they figured that if they just wedged a man in a wall, that anything that he told them, they would just assume he was crazy. So if they were like, if they rip you out of the inside of a wall, and then, hold on, let me think about this for a second. They rip you out from the inside of the wall. I'm giving alien strategy right now, Ben. They rip you out from the wall. You tell them that you've been there for 2 or 3 days, naturally they're going to assume that you're a crazy person. So when you tell them about all of the amazing anal probes you received from the space aliens, they're going to be like, oh, well, this guy's crazy, allowing the space aliens to continue to anally probe us for years and years to come. It's a full plan.
He's like, wait, I can show you those marks. I can show you the scars.
Yeah, those just look like track marks. You've been shooting heroin? What? No, those are alien sodomy scars. But they're on your arm, sir. Well, that's how they do it up there.
they could have put him like between like a wall and a mirror. He could have been the man in the mirror.
I'm talking about the man in the mirror. No, I just think I'm trying to think of other fun ways that he would have got into the wall, and the alien one was the best I could come up with.
It's elaborate, I'll give it that. Maybe he was trying to like get to Hogwarts.
Perhaps.
And he's like, oh, if I go through the secret wall behind, you know, the Pepsi machine, maybe I'll be able to get to Hogwarts. And he got to Hallward.
I think you're thinking of Narnia.
I don't know. Well, yeah.
Either way. I guess either way. It doesn't matter. Perhaps Hogwarts is behind a Pepsi dispenser.
In Longmont, Colorado. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think he knows either, Ben. I don't think he knows either.
Okay, so Lou,
mm-hmm.
For the next 30 seconds or so, you're going to be Paul Fayak. Tell me, what is life like in a wall in the Marshalls for 2 to 3 days?
Well, you know, I had a lot of time to do some soul searching. I made peace with some inner demons that I had regarding my father and our relationship. I continued to meditate and enjoy making friends with new dust bunnies that would blow by my feet. There was Harriet, Ricardo, Danelle. We had a great time. Until about the second day, then the dehydration set in. I cried a lot more. There was a lot more shaking, so there was a lot more debris for me to breathe in. So I'm pretty sure my lungs are permanently scarred by asbestos and fiberglass. And then once they got me out, I've been feeling great ever since.
Thank you, Paul. That was very insightful. Stay tuned next when we talk about a man who got stuck in a vending machine.
That actually happens more frequently than I cared to talk about. Same with kids getting stuck inside crane games.
Didn't we talk about the guy that got stuck in the vending machine?
Yeah, I think so. We also talked about a kid who got stuck in a crane game.
That is true. So it's all getting stuck in shit, people. Really?
Yeah, man. If you're not supposed to be in it, stop going in it.
It's like putting your dick in crazy. You just don't do it.
Whoa, Ben, you're writing checks with your mouth that you can't cash, that your haircut can't cash.
I'm not getting $400 haircuts like Al Gore.
What? Al Gore doesn't get $400 haircuts. He gets $396 haircuts, and they're better for the environment.
Right.
How dare you? How dare you,
I forgot because Al Gore invented the internet, too, so.
Obviously. And he also warned us of the dangers of Man-Bear-Pig.
Man-Bear-Pig?
Man-Bear-Pig.
Man-Bear-Pig. The one about Man Bear Pig, that's the episode.
Great. Just what I wanted. I didn't mean for this to happen. I apologize.
I didn't either. It happened in Colorado, too. That's where South Park is.
Yeah, good point. What are the odds?
Come on down to Longmont. Have fun in the Marshalls.
How did we get here? I mean, I would love to know more about this, but I think they're going to keep it pretty hush-hush because he's either the reincarnation of Jesus Christ or he's been abducted by aliens. That's what I'm going with.
I think the opposite is true, Lou. I think this is all there is to the story besides him probably trying to steal and he just fell through. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, that's probably the most realistic thing that happens.
Yeah, that is what happened, but it makes me sad. I wanted it to be something cooler.
Like the aliens.
Yeah, like the aliens.
With the arm anal probes.
Precise. Thank you, Ben. You understand.
I do what I can here, you know. I mean, I'm a simple guy.
You are a simple guy. You know who isn't a simple guy, Ben?
Who is that, Lou?
Our final story and potential Man of the Year candidate.
Potential.
Well, he might be. He could very well be. He could certainly be a candidate. I didn't say winner. I just said candidate. The headline reads: Guy goes to Mexico to kill himself, comma. Spends week doing coke and banging hookers, comma, decides to keep living. This is really this isn't just an all-American tale. This is an all-around-the-world tale. You know, you plan to kill yourself. You're like, oh god, the world is shit. There's nothing for me to live for in this world other than Hot Pockets and masturbating. And you're like, oh, I'm gonna go to Mexico and kill myself. But first, like, that's the trajectory of mindset. So you're like, you're super depressed. You're like, my ex-wife is making my life miserable. I've been watching Teletubbies for 3 straight days. I think I'll go to Mexico, bang a bunch of hookers, and do some fucking blow, and then I'm gonna kill myself. That's a pretty, I mean, you're really taking a lot of right turns there.
Yeah, Teletubbies, that's something else. But,
sorry about that. That's just what I imagine this man had going on in his life.
The Teletubbies that were stealing Chinese food.
Yeah.
The man in question, not really in question, the man in the story, I don't think it ever tells us his name,
no.
But he went on the website Reddit under the username Please Send Help. It's not help, it's help. Involving his story of going to Mexico, ripping lines of cocaine off of hookers' tits, battling whiskey and coke dick with Viagra, multiple threesomes, and of course his will to finally live. So basically, trying to summarize up what he said, he was really depressed. He went to Mexico to find a humane and peaceful death. So I don't know what that means.
Can I read his official statement? I'd like to read his full official statement because I think it's
beautiful. I was going to summarize it up, but if you want to.
No, I'm
going to
read the whole thing. I think it's beautiful. I mean, really, I mean, we joke about it, but the reality is that doing a bunch of cocaine and fucking a bunch of hookers saved this man's life. Like, that is real life. That is something that legitimately occurred. And we need to acknowledge it. His official statement reads, "Went to Mexico to buy barbiturates for a humane and peaceful death. Decided that if I was going to die anyway, I might as well fuck a prostitute before it was all over. After that, a cab driver offered to sell me cocaine. One thing led to another, and I got a room above a whorehouse, equipped with a heart-shaped bed, a stripper pole, and a hot tub. Spent a full week snorting coke off tits, popping pain meds, drinking tequila, eating handfuls of Viagra to fight the whiskey and coke dick, and had 3 FFM threesomes." That's a lot. And for those of you following along at home, sidebar, FFM is female, female, male. "Somewhere in the midst of my coke-fueled orgy, I decided life wasn't so bad after all." This should be a made-for-TV movie. On the Playboy Channel, probably.
No, this should be used for an anti-suicide campaign.
And then, here's the best part of the story. He packed up, headed home, STD-free. What are the odds?
That he was STD free from Mexican prostitutes.
Yeah, this was meant to be. I may not believe in God, but this is a miracle. This is a miracle.
So, long story short, cocaine and hookers saved his life.
Yeah,
That's like a Bender thing from Futurama.
I mean, it's pretty awesome. I mean, it's one of those things too, where like, let's say he lives a good, clean life and like he gets married and has a kid at some point, what if his son comes to him and he's like, "Hey dad, I'm really depressed. What do you think I should do?" Do you think the dad's like, "All right, come with me." And then he's like, "Honey, I'm taking the boy on a road trip." And then you just go to Mexico and you just pound prostitutes with your son. Do you dare tempt fate twice, Ben?
Ooh, I don't know. I think he only got lucky once, especially with those STDs.
I mean, that's pretty. I mean, really, it's a miracle. This is a miracle. This is a work of some divine power. I mean, he was having so much sex that he literally was like he was just eating Viagra. Like, he was having sex nonstop for like 7 straight days.
Well, doing cocaine
right
off of hooker's tits.
I mean, yeah. It's not for everybody, but if he was going to kill himself anyways, at least he got it right. He wasn't going to hurt anybody else. He wasn't going to, like, kill his ex-wife and her lover and, you know, and then kill himself. He was just going to take himself out. He was going to get a little reckless first. What difference does it make? If you die from a cocaine overdose, you die from taking your barbiturates. What difference does it make? You know? So he probably just figured, you know, if a hooker kills me in the midst of having sex, that's okay too. So let's just go for it. And, you know, the blow happened by accident, which I think is funny, the funny part of this story. Like, he had no intention of buying the cocaine. The cab driver just offered to sell him some. That's a fun part of the story.
Which I think, and I don't want to generalize the stereotype here, but I feel like that's a common thing amongst Mexican cab drivers with, you know,
no,
drug cartels.
Come on, Ben. Don't be ridiculous. I mean, it might be. I have no idea. When I went to Mexico, I didn't take a taxi.
It's ridiculous. It might be.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. I imagine too when you tell the cab driver, yes, I'd like to go to the Love Palace, or I'm sorry, donde está la Love Palace. Like the guy was like, oh, could I interest you in some cocaine, fine prostitute solicitor?
He's like, well, my good chap, I don't mind.
I imagine it was very proper. Yes, my good sir, what does an 8-ball run you these days in these parts? Oh, for you, sir, I'll give you a very good price. I'm convinced this is a miracle. This is an act of somebody's god. Pick one. Ben, pick a god.
The Flying Spaghetti Monster.
It was an act of the Flying Spaghetti Monster god. He gifted us this bounty, and we should embrace it. The STD part is the part that keeps blowing my mind. Like, I envision a Mexican whorehouse to be... I mean, I imagine it to be the same thing that Quentin Tarantino would probably imagine it to be, and that terrifies me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you just walked outside of a Mexican whorehouse, you would just get an STD.
And I mean, it's the type of place too where they have a heart-shaped bed and a hot tub. So like these women are fucking, like, it is their full-time job. Like, they just live there and are always fucking all kinds of weirdos. I'm just saying, the fact that he walked out of there with an STD and didn't want to kill himself anymore, how is this not a miracle? Somebody look at this man for sainthood. Somebody get the Pope on the phone. Sheila, get the Pope on the phone. Sheila doesn't exist. I wanted to sound like a big man, like I had a secretary.
Well, I mean, you tried. But, I guess moral of the story, life doesn't suck, so don't kill yourself.
No, I think the moral of the story is, when in doubt, give yourself one last hurrah and see if you can't change your mind. I think that that's fair. Actually, I'm being totally honest now, Ben. I'm not being funny or facetious at all. In the midst of making that joke, I actually had some sort of epiphany. That's actually a really great idea. I think that that's how we should treat suicide from now on. If you are suicidal and you genuinely think you want to take your life, you should blow all your money, have one last big hurrah for yourself, and see if you can't change your mind. What do you have to lose?
Yeah.
And if you change your mind, then you change your mind. And if not, well, you were going to do it anyways, right? So if you want to do a bunch of blow and snort cocaine out of hookers' buttholes, then awesome. Do it.
And this isn't confirmed or denied anywhere in the story, and I'm assuming that he's not, because obviously he was able to get his shit together and was able to type up his story and whatnot. I don't believe he's addicted to cocaine.
No.
Which is a good thing.
Mm-mm. I mean, I would imagine that because he was mixing it with so much other stuff, it probably didn't latch onto him as tightly as it wanted to.
It's probably really diluted with all of the stuff he was doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where he probably... Yeah, it probably didn't latch hold. And it was the Mexican kind, so it was probably really good. So it probably wasn't quite as damaging either. So, I mean, again, you know, we laugh, but the reality is that this guy did it the right way, man. If you're going to kill yourself anyways, give yourself one last party, do a bunch of shit you really aren't supposed to do, and see if you change your mind. I think if I ever become suicidal, that's the route I'll take. I think everyone should. I think that's the best idea that has ever come out of this podcast, other than Ben's terrorist idea, which was a really good idea.
To be fairly honest, Lou, I don't remember what that was. Was it
the Ferraris, I think?
The Lamborghinis,
yeah.
Oh, because they were cooking turkeys with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. So, there you go, everyone. Miracles do occur. They
happen every day. All around the world.
You know, Lou, looking at...
Yes, Ben?
For potential Man of the Year candidate, between this guy and that James Grant guy from New Zealand who fought the shark, this is going to be a hard competition.
I told you, Ben, this may be tougher than you thought. You know, this guy is a strong... He's going to be in the running. You know, can he win it is the key, but boy, he's going to be tough to beat him. Ooh, is it going to be tough?
We have Mr. Please Send Help. It's PLZ Send HLAP Help.
Dude, I don't think he needed help. I think he had the right idea. I think this man is a fucking pioneer. He should open his own suicide prevention hotline or site.
I think this also might be the first time, at least it was, publicized, that we can say cocaine and hookers saved a man's life.
Yeah. Having unprotected sex with Mexican hookers and snorting cocaine off of their rancid titties saved my life. And it can save yours, too. At the new and improved United States Suicide Prevention Hotline, we encourage you to do copious amounts of illegal drugs while fucking a horde of whores. You like what I did there with alliteration? A horde of whores?
Yes.
Yeah. That's Lou Olson's America.
It's Lou Olson's America, and so can you.
Good, Ben. That's a good slogan. Makes sense. Won't be confusing.
Don't sue me, Stephen Colbert.
He might.
Probably. I doubt it. I don't think Stephen Colbert listens to our podcast.
Yet.
That's the key word here, yet. So if any of you know Stephen Colbert out there personally, then let him know.
Hey, Ben,
we'd love to
why
have...
don't you tell everybody where Stephen Colbert can find us?
Oh, Mr. Stephen Colbert, you can find us on Twitter, at The News Chew. You can find us on Facebook, The News Chew with Ben and Lou. You can email us, Stephen Colbert, if you have questions or comments or an idea or a news article you found at newschewwithbenandlou@gmail.com. And you can even find us on Google+. So, Stephen Colbert, you have all these ways to find us, so please do. And with that, Lou, do you have any parting words for our guest and possibly Stephen Colbert this week?
Thank you for joining us for another episode of The News Chew. We appreciate your patronage. Baby Metal, take us home.